All right. We wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing on this time together. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, help us be what you need us to be. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Again, we thank you for all this, and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to the wisdom of Sirach. Or Sirach, chapter 30. Begin, verse 1. Appreciated the boys, the poems that were shared. These verses that we're going to read this morning about training children, training young people, it goes well with the things that were spoken, the poems. The one poem a couple of the boys read, it talked about if you do all these things, you will be a man. And that is the goal that we're striving for in training children. You know, a lot of times we might have visions of plans for their lives, things we'd like to see them accomplish, things we'd like to see happen in their lives. But those things could go either way and still not affect whether they're truly a man or a woman or not, a proper man or woman or not. The Bible speaks so much about wisdom and understanding, righteousness, peace. If I would have a thought today about this, is calm and steady. Calm and steady. You know, we can envision what might happen to our children, good or bad. The one poem talked about that, whether it was successful or a failure, they would treat both of these imposters as the same. That's not the goal. But for a man to be able to take whatever comes at him, or a woman, whatever happens to them, the one phrase of it said, when all around you people are losing their heads, and you're able to keep yours. What would be more successful than to train a child that was full of wisdom, full of grace, full of mercy, no matter what the outward successes look like, no matter what the outward failures may look like, but just to have a child that's level-headed, calm, and steady, not carried away with anything, just calm and steady. And oftentimes in training our children, the parents are contributing factors to whether the child is calm or steady or not. One of the things in training children that needs to be instilled early is that they need to learn to trust you. They need to learn to trust you. They might not understand. They might not know what's going on. They might be all a flutter. But if they can trust you, you are in between. You are the picture of what God is to a person of faith. That's how God has established the family. He's established the family. The children are nurtured from nothing to whatever they become. And the parents are given that responsibility. When the children know nothing and the parents are just looking after and taking care of them, instilling trust in the child, that child can look to you and trust you. That child can look to you and he's scared to death, but know that they can trust you. Isn't that a picture of what God is wanting us to do with Him? See, if we will look at our lives of faith, we'll look at our lives and what God wants from us. There is a little picture of that with us training our children. Whenever we can think how God wants us to be and how God wants us to respond to trust Him. If we can mold that into our children, we've been successful. If we're all a flutter and all panicky and all excited and all worked up and emotional and going one way and going the other way and just drama continually filling our own lives, it's not a very stable and trusting picture like that we would think about whenever we read about these people. We read these poems, we read history, that things that men went through in the Bible. And there's a common theme to those who were successful, those who were faithful to the Lord. No matter what they went through, calm and steady. This kind of paints a picture of them, doesn't it? We see them, some of them making wild choices and getting all flustered. And usually whenever they're doing that, what happens? We see a Jonah running away, not having faith. We see a Moses getting all upset and breaking the tablets and striking the rock twice instead of once. But when you see the Joseph being thrown in jail or prison for things he didn't do, being promised to be let out for his prophecies and then being forgotten again, but you see calm and steady floating through. That's what our goal. That's the thing that we really need to be instilling in our children. We talk about all kinds of training. We can train them to do all kinds of tricks. We can train them to be little monkeys. And know they respond well and they're really trained well. But how do they stand on their own two feet when adversity comes? When prosperity comes? Can their faith, their peace, their calm, their steady carry them through? Their ability to perform little tricks, keep little laws, keep little rules, will all fall apart when things happen, when things come. Raising Children is the title of this chapter, it says, "The man who loves his son will chastise him often, so he may rejoice in him in his later years. He who disciplines his son will profit by him and boast of him among his acquaintances. The man who teaches his son will make his enemies jealous, and he will rejoice exceedingly over him among friends. When his father dies, it is though he is not dead, for he left behind one like himself. While he lived, he saw and rejoiced in him, and when he died, he was not grieved. Before his enemies, he left behind an avenger, and to his friends, one who repays favors." What a blessed little set of verses that is, full of wisdom. What kind of child are we trying to raise here? It didn't talk about just doing super duper things. It talked about a man that was calm and steady. One that was able to cause his father to rejoice. Whenever he talks to his friends, he's able to maybe not brag of all of his accomplishments or all of his, but just, he's a good man. He's a calm and steady person. The verse says when he dies, he's not gone because he's created one himself. There again, that picture of what Jesus did when he died. And the thing that he did when he created us and made us, and then Jesus redeemed us and then died so that he could create others like himself, and we could carry the torch and be what he wants us to be right here in the midst of this world. The world just sometimes goes crazy around us. This thing that's going on now. People are panicking almost. You just look at how people react to situations, and they react one or two ways. There's three ways actually. But most people react one of two ways. Whenever there's a crisis, there's some people that just panic and lose their head, just do foolish things. And then there's others that just scoff. They just laugh. They just mock at the people panicking. "Oh, I'm not that. I'm too smart for that." It seems to be about 50-50, one way or the other. But neither one of those are good. They're both just like the disaster and just like the success. They're both imposters. But then you have people that, whenever there's a situation comes, recognize, yes, this is a real situation. And yes, there are some things we need to and can do. I'm not going to lose my head. Nor am I just going to laugh at those that are losing their head. But we're going to be calm and steady through all of this. There's nothing wrong with taking a few precautions, being cautious. But nor is it just something to laugh about, scoff about. Nor is it something to panic over. Life is full of ups and downs like this. And when we can just instill those things in our families and our children, just to be calm and steady through life's storms. That's how you learn to deal with life. All of life is full of ups and downs. All of life is full of successes and failures. And the man who can, or the woman, that can just keep on walking right through those storms, is the one who's successful. Slow and steady win the race. Just thought of a little statement this week, just for saying that just seeing people panicking all around. The least effective solution to any problem is panic. The least effective solution is panic. Losing your head. We've seen it not only in situations like this, but other situations. You just see something come up, an issue come up, and right away somebody just pushes the panic button and has to fix it right now. And then there's people who capitalize on other people's fears, who are quick to fan the flame and stir things all up and try to get people to follow them because they're aware of problems and know how to fan people's fears. But there again, calm, steady, whatever comes our way. Verse 2, it says, "He who disciplines his son will profit by him and boast of him among acquaintances." Verse 1 says, "The man who loves his son will chastise him often, so he may rejoice in him in his later years." Training children. You know, I think when chastise, we probably think that's a little more like just punishing them than what it really means. I think what it means is just not letting their way be easy. You know, one of the things that we try to do is just make sure everything is comfortable. But training is something that we do actively. And to train something that is not trained, it is something that is difficult. And it takes a lot of effort. I've said this for years. Child training is not that difficult. The difficulty is parent training. The difficulty doesn't lie with the child. The difficulty lies with the parents. The parents are the one that's hard to train. Some are just too lazy. Some just think, oh, it'll just turn out okay. All I got to do is just go through this and it'll be okay. I don't have to do anything. Just keep them out of jail, whatever. But it's going to take a dedicated effort on your part. A dedicated faithfulness on your part. You know, it's easy to set up a new plan. You know, the world's full of fad diets. Everybody jump out and get on the diet, and then the whole world just jumps on right on it too. But then after a couple of weeks, it gets old and right back to where you was before. A lifestyle change is the most effective thing. With diet or raising children. It's going to take discipline and effort on your part for you, first of all, to be what you need to be so that your child can trust you. Be there. Be consistent. Not just for a week and then let off. This is a lifetime thing that you've got to be consistent about. Not just something, oh, we got a problem, now I've got to get, he's got my attention, now it's time to fix something. You should know what needs fixed way before it needs fixing. if you're applying yourself to the task at hand. You know, some people scoff. The world just scoffs at how meaningless it would be just to have to stay home and be a mother. You have the most valuable possession in the world in your charge, in your hands to mold them. There is nothing on earth any more needed, any more valuable than for a mother to be at home taking care of her children. He who disciplines his son will profit by him. Okay, well, I'll just get the paddle out when he needs it. That's not what it talks about and what it means. You see, that's not discipline whenever you just wait until it's time to grab a paddle or to swat it. You have failed. You know, we talk about, I'm going to discipline my son or discipline my children. If you're not disciplined yourself, you'll wind up disciplining them a lot. You'll be spanking them a lot. But you'll be beating them because of your own failures, not theirs. You are creating them. You are changing them. You are shaping them for good or bad. So when it talks about to discipline the child, first thing in your mind shouldn't be grabbing a paddle. The first thing is, how am I going to discipline myself? Train these children. What am I going to do? Not about how bad he is or she is. How am I going to be disciplined? It's kind of hard to instill discipline in someone when you have no discipline in yourself. And it talks about all the blessings. To his friends, one who repays favors, and how he's able to talk about how well his child does, has done, has grown, raising their own family now maybe. But then we think of other verses. It's a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Or how shameful. How expensive, how costly it is to look back and have a child that's bringing you shame. You know, when we look to the future, some people looking back, thinking, oh, I wish I could have done something different. This child has brought me to shame, and that shame isn't just a one-time thing. It's something you'll live with the rest of your life. Just like the blessings will be lived with the rest of your life if you've done a proper job. Verse 7 says, he who spoils his son will bandage his wounds. There's no healing there, just trying to comfort them. And at every cry, his heart will ache. You know, if our only effort is to make sure everything is nice and comfortable for that child, and our heart just aches whenever they hurt, then we won't persist and apply what's needed there instead of just putting a band-aid on something just so they will feel better. There again, we're trying to comfort ourselves. It's so easy for us to take care of ourselves Shush them up so I'll have it easier. Shush them up so it'll be nicer for me. We get in the way so many times. A horse not broken turns out to be stubborn, and a son allowed to run wild turns out to be headstrong. Pamper a child and he will frighten you. Play with him and he will grieve you. I don't know how many times I've seen this, that parents will try to instill or pit parents against each other. Will try to train them to be a certain way. They'll try to turn them against the other parent. And what always happens is it will work for a while, but soon the child will turn against you because that's what you've trained it to do. You may be able to get away with putting a little twist on training them not to like this one or that one, but it will come back to haunt you. It will frighten you. That's what it's meaning here. It says, when a son allowed to run or pamper a child, and he will frighten you. You try to keep him and protect him from all those things, and it will come back to haunt you. It will frighten you. Play with him and he will grieve you. It's the same principle here. It's not that we can't enjoy them and have fun together with them. But if all you're training him to do is to play, how are you going to react when he's 30 years old and that's all he wants to do is play? I heard a long time ago, a man said to the fathers that this is your son. He's not your little buddy. He's not your little friend. He's your son. And you are not his big friend. You're not his big buddy. You are his father. And it's so easy to get trapped in just being a buddy to your child, but that's not what your responsibility is. Your responsibility is to be a father. Like I said, it's all right to enjoy each other. It's all right to have some fun with them. But that's not the purpose. You're the father. There shouldn't be a time of where you're just trying to be on their level and just trying to understand and make sure they understand everything that you're doing. They don't need to understand. They need to trust you. If you train them and argue and talk back with them and talk with them about every little situation, when they get older, they're going to expect God to do the same thing or they can't trust Him. It will not work. There needs to be things kept in the dark. They don't need to know everything. Can't hardly stand a nosy little child. Hard for me to tolerate. Because they don't need to be interrupting and being in the front of everything. The old saying was the child should be seen and not heard. There's a lot of good in that. But we want to encourage them to be talking, be right out in front, and make sure everybody sees and knows and laughs. And that's not what it is. Train up a child the way he will go when he is old. He will not depart from it. How you train him is how he'll be, or she. Not slow. Calm and steady. If you panic, get all worked up, every little thing, how in the world are you going to expect your child not to be emotional and all upset at every little thing? Calm and steady. Determine that you want your child to grow up to be dependable, calm, and steady. Whatever it takes to do that, apply yourself to it. May the Lord add his blessings.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he would love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Thank you. Peace, perfect peace, with love comes fall.
Swift shall pass thy pilgrim days.